21st Century HR is a podcast exploring how to build better businesses through modern people practices and approaches. It's brought to you by my firm, Amplify. Amplify provides HR executive search and strategic consulting services that help companies build better organizations. From employer brand development and execution to global talent strategies, Amplify develops custom solutions that help clients from Hootsuite to SpaceX optimize their recruiting capabilities. Amplify also hosts a new community for HR leaders called the Ecosystem. The Ecosystem was designed to bring modern HR leaders around the world together to share ideas, inspiration, and support. Learn more at amplifytalent.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to 21st Century HR Live. I'm your host, Lars Schmidt, and we are going to dig right into today's episode. So today I'm going to be speaking with Kelly Keegan. She is the VP of People for Built-In based out of Chicago. And we're going to talk a little bit about, she's in a new head of people role. She joined around September of last year. So we're going to talk about what that transition has been like for her, kind of getting adapted into a new role and then having this happen and how the adjustments that you have to go through and kind of what she's finding now. We'll also talk a little bit about, Built-In has a unique perspective because they're building kind of tech-oriented communities and platforms in different cities across the U.S. And so I want a little bit more about what she is seeing and if they're discovering anything in the data in terms of how this is impacting the tech community. So with that, just want to send a quick reminder before I bring Kelly on. This is an interactive show. So if you have questions for Kelly, wherever you're streaming this, just ask questions in the comment section. I'll do my best to cover those with Kelly on air. So with that, let me bring Kelly in. Kelly, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. So for viewers that aren't familiar with you, I'd love to have you just start off with a brief introduction and background on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I am VP of People at Built-In. I oversee everything from talent acquisition, HR, employee engagement, culture, coaching, all of that fun stuff. And I joined, as Lars said, back in September, so still fairly fresh to the role. Throughout my career, I've worked for really, really large corporate companies and also been the first HR person hired at a startup. And so throughout the time I've learned, I like to operate somewhere right in the middle when a company has a strong foundation built and they're just in scaling mode. I started my career right when the economy crashed in 2008. So I've seen the highs and lows in the people world and also just seen the evolution of HR and the people function over time to being more ingrained in the business. I joined Built-In to be able to help scale and grow our business. Our vision is to connect the world through a shared passion for tech and the human need for purpose. And so we do that by serving over 1,100 customers that we have in the tech space. And then on the other side of our double-sided marketplace are all of the users in the tech communities throughout the U.S. We have over 1 million users coming to Built-In every month to be able to find companies and technology that they're super passionate about. And so obviously we've seen a lot of changes in the job front, the companies that we're talking to, and I've just been throughout this time really, really heavily ingrained in the people community. One, trying to make sure that I'm finding the best resources and also contributing and just driving the conversation forward to be able to support however possible.
Yeah, and I'd love to really start there. I mean, you have an interesting, you and Built-In have an interesting kind of vantage point on how COVID-19 is impacting the tech community specifically. Like, what are you seeing in terms of the trends, the data in the different markets where you're operating? How are you seeing this specifically kind of impact the technologists and technical communities?
Yeah, I think it really, what's been so interesting is how quickly things are changing and how frequently. And depending upon what market you're in, just the various stages in, this crisis management that people were operating in. Obviously, this hit first in Seattle and then trickling into New York, having a huge impact, and then slowly, coming to Chicago, LA, Colorado, like slightly after, all places where we operate as a business and where we have tech communities. And so it's just been interesting in dialogues. We've been hosting these community chats for all of the markets that we're located. And so I get to, go on a Zoom call with folks in whatever market we're in and facilitate conversation and ask, like, what are your pain points? Like, how can we problem solve all together? And so I think everybody is feeling it, depending upon, you know, what stage you're in, whether you're, some folks are a couple of days ahead, some are a couple of days behind. Across the board, though, people are being impacted. Some companies, I think, you know, are on permanent hiring freezes. Some are still trying to figure out what exactly they're doing in terms of their growth. But we are seeing a lot of our larger clients in the enterprise space having a lot of stability and continuing to hire. But I think what's so interesting, if you're in the people function, right, you're here to care for humans, whether you're bringing them into your company or you're nurturing them in their current role, we're just caring for humans. And the way in which we communicate is really delicate. And so people want to be really sensitive to, you know, what is the best way for me to share if I'm stopping hiring, if I'm needing to lay people off, if I am still hiring, but I want to be sensitive to the rest of my community who's needing to slow down. It's just really delicate. And more than ever, I just see this emphasis on communication and the manner in which we communicate and how thoughtful people are able to be and really just looking for that guidance.
Yeah. And I'm curious, like, for you, you know, you're obviously somebody who has been with Built-In for, a little over 6 months now. You came in as a new head of people. You had a couple of months under your belt to kind of get in and acclimated and start, you know, I think the first few months when you're a new chief people officer, CHRO, you know, basically the HR executive, you know, you're in learning and doing mode, right? Nobody has the advantage in a seat like yours to just be learning for 3 months. Like, that's a myth, right? So you're building and you're learning and you're adjusting, all at the same time. And then you get to this point where, you know, now things are very different, right? Everybody is remote. There's lots of anxiety and fear and uncertainty. And, you know, I'm sure at that point you'd have already built a level of trust with the team there, with the employees there, and a level of, you know, credibility, because you had the opportunity of being there for, you know, 5+ months under normal circumstances before we get here. But, like, how do you, like, as a people leader, how do you balance the competing and sometimes opposed factors of the situation where you're supporting employees, you're trying to be transparent and open around communication, you're being asked questions you don't have the answers to right now in some cases, I'm sure. Like, how do you go about adjusting your style and your approach as a leader in, you know, from kind of pre-COVID to COVID days that we're in right now?
Yeah. That's a long question. So a couple of things come to mind. I think first and foremost, is like the reason to join Built-In, and we have been going through crazy, crazy growth, and I feel really grateful for that. And that, of course, was super enticing and something that I have a lot of experience in is scaling organizations. But on the flip side, not just scaling, but being able to elevate current cultures, current communities and employees, and, you know, offer people programming that allows them to be engaged and retained. And so that was an important part of joining Built-In. And the other really big driver for me was being able to be part of an organization that allows me to be my own authentic leader, to show up every day and to serve in a way that I think is really valuable without any sort of filtering. And a big part of my ability to be able to do that is Maria Katras, who's our CEO, who was really the reason that I joined Built-In. She's a phenomenal leader, and I have never been more grateful during this time to work for someone who is so compassionate and thoughtful and intentional and has zero ego in anything that she's doing. And so to be able to have her support, have her making decisions, have it, her passing on the responsibility to make decisions, I think that's what I signed up for. Even if it has shifted in terms of the way in which I'm serving my employees, rather than, you know, all of this recruiting taking place and elevating some of the programming, instead needing to shift and serve them in a way that is allowing them to trust one another, trust the leadership, communicate in a way that's transparent, have them feel supported, whether that is through that clarity and transparency, or it's just honest conversations about what people are going through. For me as a leader, I think at least what I think is a superpower and stands out is I really care about the whole human, and I want everybody to be able to show up fully as themselves. That's personal and professional. And I think what this whole COVID and quarantine situation has really forced, I think it was happening anyway, but I think it accelerated it, is the opportunity for people to truly just show up fully as themselves, as their whole human, with, like, you know, whether it's kids running around in the background or technical difficulties or seeing somebody work from their bedroom, we're all just human. And I think that that creates a greater inclusion and community. And so I'm excited. The silver lining in all of this is that there's just a bit more authenticity in the way people got to show up for the workplace moving forward.
Yeah, you know, one thing, you're in a unique role, and I don't mean you specifically. I mean, if anybody who's watching this and you're in a business leadership role or an HR and people leadership role, this applies to you as well. You know, you're dealing with people, obviously, like you're dealing with your employees. Everybody is going through this at their own individual circumstances, right? And a variety of reasons could impact that, right? Maybe they have kids at home, like you mentioned. Maybe they have underlying health conditions. Maybe they're taking care of elderly parents. Maybe they have other, mental health or anxiety issues that this is exacerbating for them, right? Everybody's kind of, the way that we're all going through this is such an individual thing. And for a lot of employees, it is really stressful. And as you mentioned, you know, you want to take care of humans, you want to take care of people. I think great people leaders feel that way. There's a deep sense of empathy and connection and care, you know, for their team. I'm curious for you, because under normal circumstances, right, under the best of times, a CPO job is incredibly stressful and it's incredibly emotionally taxing, right, under the best of times. We're not under the best of times. It's an understatement, right? There's massive amounts of stress and anxiety. You know, for you, how do you take care of yourself, right? Like, you have this obligation to your executive team. You have this obligation to your, all of your own team within the people group. You have an obligation to the employees across the organization. You're probably to a degree involved in stakeholders in the ecosystem, you know, of built in, but if you're not kind of taking care of yourself as a starting point, it's really hard to dedicate the space you need to take care of those. So I'm just curious, like, for you, like, what are your own kind of self-care approaches, practices? How do you ensure that, you know, you're able to keep yourself in a great place while you're dealing with all of these different, you know, constituents?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think, ironically, there's like two quick things that come to mind. One, I always joke, and I have for like the last year, that there needs to be HR for HR, right? Like, who does the HR go to vent when there's something going on? You don't necessarily want to take it to your boss, right? You want to have like an unbiased person to be able to support you. And then this other idea of putting your oxygen mask on first to be able to serve others, I think is so important. And especially for HR leaders and CEOs in this scenario, making sure that you are caring for yourself, because you could never fully care for somebody else if your mental, physical health is compromised in any sort of way. And so I feel really, really fortunate to have an incredible community. I have a great leadership team that is there to support and to guide me, and I fully trust them. But I think also being in HR, it's really important to have that external HR community. I also am going through a conscious leadership coaching program right now that has been wonderful timing through all of this to be able to really lean into that group. And then as far as other self-care, I meditate every single day. I think today was day 217. So I feel really fortunate that I've meditated for a long time, but I've never had such a long streak. Feel really fortunate that I started that streak, because it's perfect timing now to be able to like really check in with myself and make sure that I am making decisions and supporting from a really clear-headed, level place. I also am like way less triggered through all of this chaos that's going on. And then I would say we've been doing mindfulness sessions at work. Our first month that we were remote, I was actually leading them every single morning. And now we've switched to once a week on Mondays. And then really just making sure that I have good boundaries between when I'm starting my day, when I'm working and then when I'm closing out for the day, because it can be really easy for me to like want to constantly check email and make sure that everybody's okay. But having that boundary to know that like, okay, it's 6:30, it's time to be able to have dinner and to like shift into, you know, self-care, relaxation, recharging mode, I think is so important. And I try to really encourage that, not just for myself and my team, but all of our employees and anybody who's watching here, is like making sure you're having those opportunities to step away from work and recognize like just because you're home doesn't mean your whole home is work right now. And to identify like what are those things, whether it's self-care or anything that is going to help recharge you so that you can show up and be your best self the next day.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And I want to bring in a viewer question from Michael Heller, who's watching us on Facebook. You know, he underscored your point around the empathetic companies and empathetic leadership are going to be the ones that are really going to thrive when we're on the other side of this. But he was curious, kind of, what's your take on the best way to keep employees who, in many cases, you know, obviously in an organization like yours, are remote? How to keep them engaged during this? And I'll actually, I want to tack on a kind of part two to that as well. Is I think that, you know, the struggle, I think, for yourself and a lot of HR leaders is to really find that balance between creating opportunities to engage your, you know, now remote employees, while also not over-engineering that engagement. Because, you know, again, getting back to that subjective nature of this, you'll have some employees that might be single employees sheltering in place, and they're lonely and they're craving any kind of opportunities to make connections with their colleagues. And you're going to have other employees who have home circumstances, parents, kids, whatever, that make, you know, it may really difficult to dedicate any time at all, you know, towards work. And so the idea of being asked to then kind of do things beyond that, it ends up adding stress when you're trying to help kind of alleviate it. So I'm curious, like, are there any things that you're doing at Built In that have worked for you? Anything that, as you talk to your peers, any kind of practices you've seen that you feel, you know, really help people leaders kind of maintain that sense of, you know, virtual engagement?
Yeah. So I was actually watching your interview with Caitlin Holloway, and this question came up, and her response, I think I just want to highlight, because I think it's really important, is to make sure that you're not just overwhelming people and doing things just to do them, and making sure that, you know, there's opportunities to say like, this is optional, don't feel obligated, because people are going through all different scenarios right now. Whether you are parents or you're by yourself, or, you know, you need to care for other people, making sure that you're really taking a customized approach and asking yourself, like, what does my organization need? What do my people need? I think when, for Built In, we took a step back and said, okay, first and foremost, what, when we think about our culture, what does our culture look like? And we have a highly social culture. We, so we use, this assessment called Culture Index. And so it tells us specifically like how social, someone is. And that's more of like, are they, an internal thinker? Do they need to think out loud? And so we have a ton of people who are out loud thinkers who need that socialization. So we looked at that first and say like, okay, how can we show up and like serve in that way? And then layering in, what are the rituals that are an important part of our company and our culture? And so how do we maintain any sort of stability and consistency for those rituals? For example, we close out the week with Celebration Friday. It's an opportunity for us to come together, to celebrate wins, to offer gratitude to one another, and to just cheers one another. And then other things, like we have a monthly breakfast club that people come together in the morning, you put in random groups, and there's question prompts that are on the tables when we're live and in person. And so that we recognize as a ritual. We also have new hire game nights. And so we just sat down and like made a list of like, what are all of the rituals and how do we approach them while we're virtual? Some are a lot easier than others. And then the other piece was the communication, which I think is something that you can never overdo. There are plenty of ways that you can under communicate. And so from the very beginning, we said, we're going to be gathering weekly at 9:30. Maria Katras, our CEO, leads it. It's just open Q&A. People could submit anonymous questions ahead of time, or they can ask live. But we wanted to make sure that we set really clear expectations for the way in which we were going to communicate, what that would look like, have that like clear avenue for if you have questions, if you have concerns, here's the place that you can submit them. And candidly, there are some weeks where we get on the call on Monday morning, there's maybe two questions that were submitted. And it's like, okay, we could just choose to answer those two questions, or we can take a step back and think about like, what would be an important message to deliver this week? What is a question that we anticipate may come up, and how do we go ahead and be proactive about communicating that ahead of time? And so it's, I think it's like incorporating, obviously in HR, we're always thinking about communication and the way something will land. And I think it's an important skill for all leaders that they are forced to develop right now if they haven't already, of like, how am I communicating? Thinking about that, not just on a daily basis, but almost like hour by hour, and just placing more importance on that. And then checking in, I think, you know, most of the time when you're in HR and you roll out a new initiative or a new program, you spend a lot of time doing upfront research, planning out, looking at data, like taking that feedback and then building a program that you hope is going to sustain for a long period of time. I think right now what we're seeing is we need to act really fast, and we need to be agile and develop programs that can be rolled out immediately. And we're also recognizing that we need to tweak those really frequently. So we started out being remote in the beginning and said, okay, we think it's a best practice for everybody to have a daily huddle in the morning with their teams. And my team was doing that for a really long time. But about 3 or 4 weeks into it, we realized like, this didn't feel like it was efficient. It didn't feel like it was meaningful and productive. And what's a new way that we can approach it? How can we shift that? And literally, like, it's on a 2-week basis right now that we're kind of reassessing the way that we're doing things. And so I'm really empowering my leaders to check in with their teams and do those things on their own. And we're coming together on a bi-weekly basis as an entire management team to say, like, here are the challenges I'm going through with my team. Here's how I've approached it. And so we're spending more time sharing those best practices. And I totally recognize like that's not feasible for all companies. We're about 120 people. And so it's easy for us to be agile and really be in tune with all of our employees' needs. Other companies that are, you know, enterprise level and have thousands and thousands of employees, that's a lot harder. So I feel really fortunate that we're able to be so in tune with every person at our company and also able to react quickly and shift however we need to shift and support our employees. But I think what we'll see through like whatever the future of the workplace looks like and the future of HR, I think what we're going to start to see is more and more of a customized approach for individuals versus just like a blanketed best practice that we think will impact the masses in a company.
Yeah, you know, I think you raised some great points there. I think in particular, talking about being agile and nimble, like that's essential. And it's a skill set that isn't necessarily native to some, you know, HR and people teams. We're used to having processes and documentations and you know, set ways of doing things that are built upon the ways that we've been doing things for a while. And having this massive sudden transformation in terms of the way we operate is something that, you know, I think caught a lot of teams flat-footed, and they really struggled in those early, you know, weeks of this to figure out how to adapt. And I think to your point, what you're doing is smart. I mean, you have an idea, okay, we're going to do a stand-up huddle. That seems like that's the right thing to do. And then you do that for a period of time and you reassess, like, is it? Mm-hmm. Is it adding value? And I think that there's a good lesson in there for HR leaders. Don't get locked into your practices, especially now. Continually iterate them, continually refine them, and figure out what's going to work best. And don't be afraid to throw something away and try something different, because you know, I think you have to figure out the rhythm that's going to fit best for everybody. And again, with that underlying foundation that everybody is at a different place. Mm-hmm. So what works for one person, you know, is not going to work for the other person. Let's talk a little bit about return to work. Mm-hmm. We're at a phase now, at least within the US, where we're starting to talk a lot more about, you know, opening back up the economy. What that looks like, don't know. But, you know, people in your seat are having to begin thinking about return to work plans and what that looks like. And I'm curious, like, can you give us a window into, you know, where your conversation is around return to work? What are you thinking? What do you envision kind of over the next really 2 quarters for the team there?
Yeah, so we... When we first decided to go remote, I think we took the stance that we will be overly cautious. And so we were one of the first companies in Chicago to set that trend. And our CEO, Maria Katras, literally said, like, we will not be setting the trend on returning to work. The safety of our employees is by far and large the most important thing to us. And right now it just feels like there are too many unknowns. We're really fortunate that we have the ability to work remote, and it was very easy for us to transition. Like, we have flexibility for people to work remotely. During Christmas and New Year's, we shut down the office and people work remotely. So it was pretty much a no-brainer for us when we made that decision to go remote, because we knew it was possible. And any sort of hiccups or challenges, we kind of worked through in the first 2 weeks. Of course, people are super eager to see each other and get back to the office. But I think right now, there being too many unknowns, too many shifts that need to be made. Like, do we go back? There's so many variables of what this could look like. Like, best scenario is, you know, all of a sudden, poof, coronavirus is gone and we're back in the office tomorrow and there are no concerns. But also it could be a phased approach. It could be 20% of our staff goes back to work. It could be, I think there's going to be companies that decide to just go back immediately and there's going to be another outbreak or an employee gets confirmed with coronavirus and then they're all going to have to self-quarantine. And so we kind of want other companies to work out some of those kinks so that we can learn and figure out the best approach for our employees and also just their safety. Recognizing that, like, you know, people are getting a little bit tired and feeling a bit isolated being remote, but at the end of the day, we just want everybody to be safe and healthy. And I think throughout all of this, the what I feel most grateful for is that the HR community is really banded together. I think HR community has always been super helpful. If you have a very clear question for a specific person on how do I approach something, and then people are willing to share. I think everybody now just willing to share all of their communications, all of these resources being banded together, like Lars, all of the things that you are crowdsourcing and other companies like Life Labs, like all of these resources are so readily available, which I think is amazing. As a result of all of this. But right now I'm kind of leaning into see what other companies are building and doing. And what that does is enables me, rather than spending time right now starting from scratch and building that out, it's to really serve my current employees in the best way possible and fully show up for them. And, you know, in Chicago and Illinois, like when we know more around what it looks like for our state and when we're going to be returning back, right now we're still in quarantine through the end of May. And so we have a bit of time, but I think probably in the next 2 weeks, we'll start needing to actively plan out like what we think possible scenarios will be. But realistically, from a goal standpoint, from, you know, what we've presented to our board, we're prepping for Q2 to be remote.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that overview of what you're looking at. I think that it's pretty common for a lot of companies to, you know, especially if you have the ability to wait and see, that's sound advice, because the reality is nobody knows how this is going to go. Nobody knows what a second wave may or may not look like. You know, states are beginning to open up, at least in the US, so we'll probably have some indicators in the coming month. But if you're in a position to not rush back into the office, if you have the ability and the privilege to have your employees remain remote, you know, I think you have to consider pausing as long as you can so that you can have clear data and an understanding of the real kind of ramifications of opening back up, because it's not as easy as just open. You can't just open the doors back up and have people come back into the office. Like, I've seen a lot of, you know, both established and theoretical plans around return to work. It's incredibly complicated. And so, you know, if you have that that luxury of time of being able to just kind of keep things moving the way they are, for a bit of time, I think that that's to your advantage to do it. Kelly, thanks so much for coming on and sharing your journey. I want to, you know, wrap up with a bit that we close the show with called One Good Thing. So I'm going to turn it back over to you to close out the show with, you know, one good thing from your past week. It could be something you read, conversation, anything at all. What would be your one good thing?
Oh, great question. I'd say I will give an overarching answer and then something a little more specific. I think one good thing out of all of this, obviously, is the community that's banded together. But I think in particular, the elevated conversation around mental health. I think that that's been a stigma that, you know, if your mental health is not in the place where you want it to be, it's to like keep it close and not ask for help or talk about it or even share those vulnerabilities. And so I very much appreciate the kind of like forced conversation that's taking place. I'm a big believer in like therapy and sharing your feelings and doing all of that. And so the fact that that is showing up and people don't have to feel so alone, I think is really nice. And then to kind of dive into something more specific, I think just the, you know, the positivity that everybody is sharing during these times, like the silver lining. I have a sister with special needs, and this is like the highlight of my every day. She started posting on Instagram stories, and she shares an inspirational quote every day. And so if I'm just having like a really tough moment in my day, I like log in, I'm like, all right, now's the time to check for that inspirational quote from somebody who is just so genuine and compassionate. And so I would love for everybody to have that outlet, like that one thing that they know that they can go to really lean into, to put a smile on their face, even in the darkest of times.
That's great. Well, I appreciate you sharing that, and definitely appreciate you making time for this. And I think you're right. The, you know, the open source, the sharing, the collaboration, specifically within the people community, I think that's been massive. And I think that, you know, that's not something that goes away. You know, we will be on the other side of this at some point. We will be in a different place at some point. I think some of the practices and approaches that we're developing during these times are going to stick with us, and we're going to be better for that. So I'm all with you on silver linings, and definitely appreciate you coming on to share your journey and your story. So thanks so much. And thanks to all of you who are viewing. We'll be back tomorrow at noon Eastern with our recurring weekly segment, Office Hours with Craig Fisher. So hope to see you then. Take care and stay safe.
Thanks, Lars.
Thanks for listening to this episode of 21st Century HR. If you want to hear more episodes like this or read stories from the 21st Century HR Fast Company series, go to 21stcenturyhr.com. And if you want to make your podcast just a little more awesome, be sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, or whatever podcast platform your ears desire. You'll find all the subscribe links on the website. And if you enjoy the podcast, do me a favor and share it with your peers, your network, your boss, and your CEO. Help me get the podcast into the ears of anyone who wants to know what HR and recruiting looks like when done really well. They'll thank you for it, and so will I. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next episode.